Okay. It's now 5:30, so I declare the meeting open at 5:30. I wish to acknowledge the Garri Yarra people, whose lands we now meet, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We'll just go through the item 3. There's a list of attendance. Item 3.2, which is a new item, and I'll just read out the recommendation because I don't think this was distributed. No. So the recommendation is that Council authorises the attendance of the Honourable Frederick Riebling, AMJP, at future Council meetings via electronic means during a public health safety state of emergency, in brackets, the COVID-19, in accordance with Regulation 14C of the Local Government, in brackets, Administration Amendment Regulations 2020, as effective from the 26th of March 2020. And I do vote in support of that recommendation. I do tell the public and those who are watching from home that this particular gazettal of the regulations covering the state of emergency was passed today via Government Gazette number 44, and I'm presuming that that will take effect and last until the state of emergency is declared no longer the case in Western Australia. So that is the reason for item 3.2. So basically from now on, these meetings will not be, there won't be members of the public attending these meetings from now on, but I'll have more to say about that in a minute. So that's carried. Item 3.3, there is
just the Director of Community Services is an apology.
Okay. Director of Community Services is an apology. Leave of absence, nil. Disclosure of interest, nil. Application of sick leave, leave of absence, nil. Item 5 is the response to questions that were included from the meeting of the 5th of February, which weren't put into the last meeting. And items 5.2.1, questions to answers from the meeting of the 26th of February 2000. Excuse me. Item 6, public time. This meeting is being recorded on audio tape and streamed live online as an additional record of the meeting and to assist in with minute-taking purposes, which may be released upon request to a third party. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is reminded that in accordance with section 6.1.6 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws and on standing orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless the person has been given permission by the Chair to do so. Members of the public are also reminded that in accordance with section 6.17 subsection 4 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, mobile phones must be switched off and not used during the meeting. In accordance with section 6.7 subsection 3 of the Town of Port Hedland local laws on standing orders, members of the public are required to complete a question form and place the completed form in the tray provided. If the presiding member determines that questions and statements are out of order due to the use of offensive or objectionable expressions or are defamatory, they will not be recorded and not responded to. Do we have any questions from the public? Oh, sorry, I open question time at 5:36. Not being any questions, I close question time at 5:36. I declare public statement time open at 5:36 also. Any statements? No. I declare public statement time closed at 5:36. I believe we have a deputation. I'm at 6.3, and I welcome Kelly to the podium.
Good afternoon, Commissioner, CEO, Directors. Thank you for the opportunity, and I appreciate the opportunity given the circumstances as well. My name is Kelly Howlett, and I'm the Chair of the Port Hedland Alcohol and Other Drug Management Plan Working Group. It's a group, a collaborative group. Every tier of government is represented, as well as not-for-profit organisations and all the different organisations that work in the alcohol and other drug sector locally here in Hedland. We've been collaboratively working together since 2013. Every 2 years, in accordance with the funding from the Mental Health Commission, we work on local drug and alcohol plans that are put out for the community and really give us a strategic plan, a guide in terms of the priorities that the community wants us to work on, but importantly as a sector, what we all strive to be working on, working together so that we can minimise alcohol and other drug harm in our community. So I just wanted to come today because it's that time to update the plan. So as a group, we've been working on updating the plan. First, importantly, reviewing and evaluating how we went with the previous plan, the 2018 to 2020 plan. And now we have in draft form, and we've all as a sector agreed on this as our plan going forward. It's a draft plan for 2020 to 2022. So I just wanted to, because the town of Port Hedland is a member of this group and really contributes, and we value the contribution of the town on the group, but also it's an important plan for the community. And I guess we all are working together, and certainly the town's community safety plan was integral in forming and helping to formulate this plan, as well as other consultation that we've done. So we actually do a community perception survey on alcohol, other drugs and mental health. And so those surveys are also collated, and the report will be an attachment as part of this plan when it is finalised. But it just sort of shapes where we're going to and what we're striving to do here locally as a sector in terms of alcohol and other drug issues in our community. So I'm not sure if you've gone through the plan, but if you have gone through the plan, you'll see that there are four priorities, and the four priorities remain fairly unchanged from the 2018 to 2020 plan. That was because consensus of the group was that we've got a great foundation, we've done a lot of work, we've produced a lot of materials, really successful campaigns, particularly in terms of the Pilbara Alcohol Awareness Campaign, particularly in terms of our youth stop and think before you drink, so our anti-drinking campaign for youth. So a lot of materials, and we've got those really good signs that we put up at public events, the alcohol think again messages. So we've got a lot of things that we can use. So everyone didn't want those wasted. One of those items to still continue to be used, but how could we build upon it? So we felt that by largely unchanging the priorities, we could build upon and continue the great work that's happening. Priority one is changing the culture and normalisation of alcohol use in Port and South Hedland. Priority two is addressing the impact of alcohol and other drugs, including VSU, on families and young people. Priority three is reducing alcohol-related violence in Port and South Hedland. And priority four is addressing needle syringe disposal issues and raising awareness of the role and function of local NSP and NSEP programs. So they're the four priorities that as a collective, and it's a collective of around 25 agencies and services, have all by consensus agreed. And I guess for us, we're really keen to hear the town's view on the plan so that we, while in this draft period, we can make any amendments and look at exploring anything else that the town wishes us to look at in terms of the future plan. But I guess as a group, we're quite excited about some of the initiatives from each of the priority areas. So I just want to take the time to pull out seven if I can, and I'll do it quite quickly. One is maintaining a Hedland community calendar. That way it's distributing consistent messages around changing the culture and normalisation of alcohol use. Using our events, using our things that happen in the community, making it customised and specific to us here in Hedland. Working towards a policy for venue hire and grant funding conditions for community, cultural and social and sporting events. that support family-friendly environments and responsible services of alcohol, including the provision of alcohol awareness materials, continuing to support all the agencies and services that go into our local schools to deliver relevant AOD, including BSU education prevention and harm reduction sessions, developing and promoting and distributing targeted remote community messaging around the state and local campaigns that are culturally appropriate and easy to understand, addressing the impact of alcohol, other drugs, including BSU, on our families and young people. And the surrounding communities have been really embracing this idea. In Warralong, they've been painting non-alcohol messages on car bonnets and things and putting them around the community. So there's some different things that we can look at exploring for that one. Investigating the further use of the Sobering Up Centre during the day, exploring opportunities for medically supervised day treatment AOD rehab, or possibly being used as a welcome centre, supporting the establishment and the continued operation of a permanent NSEP service here in South Hedland. It's a fantastic start, the service that we have at the moment, but making sure that that is a permanent service. And then importantly, just providing information and education on the important role of NSP and NSEP programs, particularly in regards to their role in terms of maintaining public health. So they're just some of the actions that I've pulled out from the plan. The plan is quite ambitious, and it's always been ambitious. We've always had four priorities. A lot of other communities only have three, but we're quite an active group, and you know, we've worked on the four priorities and we'll continue to work on the four priorities. So I just welcome, if the town does have any comment, to make a submission, and the community as well. Submissions close on the 3rd of April.
Thank you. Thank you, Kelly. I do thank you for your contribution today. It's almost impossible to get oxygen with the current problems we have. If asked a month ago what the major problems in Hedland were, they'd revolve around alcohol, I would have thought. But now, you know, this crisis we have kind of takes priority, but that doesn't really, in the background, is still that core problem that'll be here long after the virus is gone. So thank you for that. I have read it, and it's got some great stuff in it, and no doubt you'll be hearing from us in the not too distant future. So thanks for your contribution. Thanks.
Thank you.
Item 7, questions from members without notice. There is nil. Item 8, which is the announcements from the presiding member without discussion. There's a list of meetings that I've attended there. But I also want to state a couple of things in relation to the coronavirus, which is changing every day, basically. Firstly, let me say that this is a very testing time for council and, of course, for the community. We are now in the process of developing our budget with the Premier's request for zero rate increase in our minds. We are committed to keeping all our staff employed. This will support small business in Port Hedland and also, of course, the staff themselves. I urge Port Hedland people to buy very local, support small businesses based here, supporting things like restaurants that are now doing takeaway offers, shops that are still employing people. The only thing that I urge people in Hedland to do is not to panic buy. That is very destructive of people that can't get the goods that people hoard, so it's that is a problem. But not as big a problem as in Perth, I would say. Your council is looking at a massive capital works program to support businesses when other sectors of our community are winding back in their capital works programs. I think that will support local businesses massively once the budget process is over. We've closed all our meeting places, swimming pools, sporting complexes, libraries. This will be the last council meeting to allow the public in. We will still be streaming live the process. And if people have questions or statements to make, then they must deliver through either directly dropping off their statement or through electronic devices at least 24 hours prior to the meeting taking place. They will be included in the minutes, and no doubt the answers will be also included in those minutes. I do urge people to do what the Prime Minister and the Premier are saying, to stay away from public gatherings. And so that's part of our message, part of everyone's message. There's a couple of things I just wanted to mention. If I fall sick or am unable to attend a meeting, we have now made provisions for council to run through Skype, and this is going to be my face will be in there if I don't turn up. If things are worse than that, then a new commissioner would be appointed within 7 days of my demise, so to speak. I am hoping that this, of course, doesn't occur, but we need to cover all possibilities in a situation where we have an unknown virus of this type. We're now working on ways to still deliver services to our community. We will make a release of information in relation to that shortly. Your council stands ready to assist in delivery of services to people in need and the health system if required. And the services that the community needs also in relation to what we deliver already, such as rubbish and ovals and the like, will of course continue to be as excellent as it's been. So that's all I wanted to say at this stage in relation to the virus. But some of the items we are dealing with today already will have altered somewhat in their nature since I wrote my notes on the thing. So some of it may change a bit. Okay, we now move. Sorry, I declare that I've given due item 9. I declare that I've given due consideration to all matters contained in the agenda. In item 10, confirmation of minutes, I confirm that the minutes of the ordinary meeting held Wednesday the 26th of February 2020 are a true and correct record of that meeting. And I confirm the minutes of the special council meeting held on the Wednesday the 18th of March 2020 to be a true and correct record of that meeting. Okay. Item 11.1.1, statement of financial activity for the period ending the 31st of January 2020. This item is the normal list of accounts that shows the monthly financial position. There is a commentary on items that represent a 10% variance or $10,000 or variance of 10% or $50,000 in relation to major projects. These can be seen in the summary of attachment 2 at note 12. The net current asset position was $23.8 million. The current asset cash and investments is $5.5 million. Restricted cash reserves is $241.5 million. Unrestricted cash position is $23.8 million. The net current asset position will decrease as operating and capital budgets are expended throughout the year. I vote for the recommendation on page 12, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, on page 12 of the agenda. The next item is item 11.1.2, which is the half-yearly budget review. This report was reviewed in the Audit and Risk Committee meeting earlier this month. Some of the key figures that are in the that are of interest are: 1, the extra $11.338.561 million for the back rates after the decision of the 5th of February 2002, increasing wages of $521,972 in line with the development of the massive capital works program commencing. Item 3, costs incurred in Tropical Cyclone Damien of $750,000. Item 4, the apparent loss of $3,689,760 lost at this stage in relation to Tropical Cyclone Veronica as Council repaired roads to a standard that the funding body thinks is not repairs but improvements. This is an ongoing dispute, but at this stage is a loss of $3.6 million. Item 5, there is a series of allocations in relation to preparation of 4 master plans worth $2 million. Item 6, the transfer to reserves of $14,965,556. Item 7, allocation of $800,000 into capital expenditure to acquire land to build a number of houses for staff. I congratulate the account section headed by Anthea, whose work that shows sound long-term planning, transparency, and regularly reporting to the community through meetings. It should be remembered that there is a significant benefit to local economy, including investments in local infrastructure, utilising local traders and businesses where possible. There's a number of variations that have been mentioned with a net impact that the surplus of $843,592 is predicted to be achieved by the end, by 31st of July this year. We are in a great position to start delivering infrastructure that will make Headland a great place to live and work, as it should be, plus keeping people employed. I vote for the recommendation on page 16 of this report. Item 11.1.3, the 2019 compliance audit report. And this item is what every local government in Western Australia delivers each year and is required to be delivered to the department by the 31st of March each year. This item has also been considered by the Audit and Risk Committee earlier this month. The report highlights 3 areas that needed some attention. 1, there was a non-compliance in disclosure of interests at question 7, where all employees lodge a primary return. There were 2 employees who did not lodge their returns in on time. These returns have now been lodged. It appears that the officers were not aware of the requirement to lodge their returns. This matter has now been rectified. item 3, integrated planning and reporting at question 7 is in relation to the lack of a workforce plan. More correctly, the old workforce plan needs to be replaced with a modern one. This work is now well in hand and will not appear in next year's report. Item 3, the tender for providing goods and services, the Council did not advertise the amended regional price preference policy in 2018. That process is now in place to ensure this does not occur again, and the new regional pricing policy just passed will comply. I vote for the recommendation on page 22 of this report. Item 11.1.5,
is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
Which is, sorry?
11.1.4. Okay, so it's
Is that 11.1.5? I've changed it today. Can you just check? This is Kingswood Smith.
Kingswood Smith, yeah.
Okay, so it's 1.4. I had that and I crossed it out. Doesn't matter. Okay. Okay. This is in relation to Lot 3, Kingswood Smith Business Park. This item is a great opportunity for the community of Port Hedland to get information about the progress of this important business park. There is 36 lots in the estate. To date, 21 have been sold, 4 are currently under offer, and 11 remain for sale. This estate was created to deliver a high quality industrial dash bulk goods estate which services the Port Hedland community and provides a place of employment. To create a cohesive light industrial area bulk goods precinct which capitalises on the proximity of the Port Hedland Airport, allowing for a range of services for businesses to benefit. This acceptance should result in a change of our rules in relation to delegation of acceptance of offers that are in excess of the delegation authority. This is a great story. The local council's vision for this estate is now being realised. People who are looking to position their business need to act quickly. I vote for the recommendation on page 60, which reads, the council accepts the offer from Christine Verbeck and Verbeck and Ken Eicher, AFT, the Ronnie Matt Family Trust, for Lot 3, Kingswood Smith Business Park. Pronunciation of all those might be incorrect, but it's the best attempt. Okay. Item 11.2.1. Just have to have a drink. This is in relation to the annual perception survey. The results of our annual community survey are now in. I would like to thank the 895 people that responded. The results of the survey is primarily during the time when council was dysfunctional, but did have a portion after that period of time. The key themes that have come through are that the council can have an active role in addressing are as follows. Firstly, youth facilities. We have released three, I'll just go through what the main concerns are and what our responses are. So youth facilities, we have released three master plans for South Hedland Integrated Sports Complex, JD Hardy Youth Centre and McGregor Street Sports Precinct, plus upgrading of sporting fields lighting. Item two, recycling and waste. We have in the process of signing a contract for a curbside service, recycling service this year. The hold up of this is due to the company having experienced fires in relation to the properties in Perth. Item three, the cemetery. The South Hedland Cemetery Master Plan is being developed. Item four, the library. The new library will be open soon. It's due to be open actually tomorrow. I think that this will be a record, the only library on record that is in fact closed just before it opens. So, which is a bit sad, but it'll be there once the emergency is passed for the enjoyment of people in that library. Childcare, we are working with the Hedland Collective to redevelop South Hedland TAFE childcare and the old Port Hedland Library into all children's care space. My understanding it's now ready, it just needs to be staffed. Seniors, we are actively working with the seniors groups to deliver activities to the Headland age population. I don't know whether that, as a result of the coronavirus, has changed in any way, or that we are delivering the services, but that may have changed some of our programs. We are committed to rebuilding the Stephen Street units. Item 7, the South Headland Dog Park, just opened a temporary one in Murray Maitland Reserve, together with the two in Port Headland themselves. I've got to say, the people in South Headland in relation to the dog park were particularly happy with what we've done out there, so that's very pleasing indeed. Item 8, the shade. We continue to put shade into our parks and open spaces as a priority. The next area was the Parks and Gardens. Council has completed the landscaping in Merripika Kapinga Park, including the Boab tree, and will be a massive improvement to open space throughout Port Headland and South Headland in the coming months. Basically, the results of the survey indicate that the areas of interest and concern are in fact the areas your council is actively pursuing. It is my view that a vote of confidence for your council to keep taking actions that will enhance life in Port Headland and South Headland. I congratulate those staff members involved in that survey, and I vote for the recommendation on page 64 of this report. This item is primarily to clean up the road alignments that are no longer required after the construction of a four-lane bridge. In 2014, the town, in conjunction with the Main Roads Department and BSP, initiated the construction of the Wallwork Road Bridge. This bridge increased the safety and allowed for traffic flow. This report then requires ground level roads closures and creation of a bridge, of the bridge itself, as the road and impacts on part on surrounding affected leases. I'll just read that again. This project then requires land level road closures and creation of the bridge itself as a road and impacts on surrounding affected leases. The final piece of this work is the dedication of lots shown in Attachment 1, which are lots 702, 700, 501, 701 and 704. These changes are administrative and clean up the plans for this area. I vote for the recommendation in relation to this item. Item 11.3.2, adoption of a heavy vehicle access strategy. The proposal of this report is to have a heavy vehicle access strategy, which is shown on Attachment 1. The town has investigated the infrastructure demands and mitigating strategies associated with the management of assets. This work should have been done, or is a result of Main Roads allocating RAV vehicles to access Wedgefield when the road system is not built for that purpose. We need to develop existing and assess forming future road classifications within our area. We need to develop an assessment of temporary and permanent RAV applications referred to from the Main Roads department. We should investigate an approach to road maintenance and safety issues in Wedgefield, considering existing roads use patterns. The key actions of this strategy are, I will not go through in detail each of them, but I'll list them because I think we'd be here for hours if I went through them individually. One, develop traffic monitoring program. We should develop a strategic traffic and transport model. Two, develop asset register and asset management plans. Three, develop cost-sharing approaches to support asset management. Four, implement planning changes to address safety issues in Wedgefield.
Get a bit of a tickle.
Continue to review RAV status on roads in Wedgefield. Six, evaluate mining tenements and crown leases and negotiate road maintenance agreements. I vote for the recommendation on this in this report. On this report. Point 3.3, development of an application for highway precinct works 9008 Great Northern Highway, Port Hedland. This item is for the development of airport land and gives permission on the various parcels of land that is now undeveloped for commercial purposes. It contains a construction of two roads, the drainage utilities, bushfire plan, removal of some infrastructure, effluent disposal system, and various other demolition requirements. Drawings needed to be approved, drainage network, stormwater system developed, street lighting, type of road construction, access to highway needs to be approved, proven all earthworks and emergency access ways, and so on. It goes on for some considerable period of time, as you can see from the extensive recommendation. The recommendation covers every aspect required to comply with the to the satisfaction of council's requirements for safety and environmental requirements to allow this development. These conditions requirements are not unusual. I think they are the standard for the development of a place, of a piece of land the size of this, and the recommendations is comprehensive. And I thank the planning department for the work they have put into this particular item. As you can see, it's an extensive item. I vote for the recommendation. This is on my pages 76 through to 80. That may be a different, but it's the five page recommendation in relation to this item. Okay, the next one is the one with the world's largest supporting documents. Item 11.3.4, the local planning strategy and draft planning system number 7 and resolution to proceed to advertising. This process is to provide copies of the draft Town of Port Hedland local planning strategy, including part 1 text, part 2 and maps, and draft Town of Port Hedland local plan system number 7, including system text and maps, to the West Australian Planning Commission for certification. Also to refer LPS 7 to the Environmental Protection Authority to consider if LPS 7 requires assessment, and then advertising the above. After community consultation, the recent consultation of conclusion of phase three in March 2020 has now resulted in the preparation of this strategy and draft LP27, then phase four in referring to council, which we're now doing. And then phase five is the public advertising of the draft strategy in April 2020. Your council is required to get advice and certification from the commissioner prior to advertising. It must, one, set out a long-term direction. Two, must apply any state and regional planning policies. And three, provide a rationale for the zoning. Part of the documentation sets out a summary of the engagement. This document has five objections summarised in community consultation that are covered. The first is shaping headland stakeholders' outcomes. First, it strikes a balanced address for short-term, medium-term, and also the long-term investments in the area. Two, it locates future residential and service areas. Three, promotes opportunities, both sustainable and environmental. Four, supports economic growth in tourism, arts and culture. Five. Five, land use issues in Wedgefield. The local planning strategy, there is two population scenarios, conservative and aspirational. Two, the scale back ambitious population predictions. The West End is omitted, East End developments is included. South Headland focuses on existing zones. Maps prioritise urban growth. The local planning scheme number seven, firstly, the special zone for the airport. Two, Kingsford Smith Business Park. Three, show all rail corridors. Four, rationalisation of current reserves. Five, reconsidering our waterways, recognising our waterways. Six, Old Wedgefield to light industrial to acknowledge caretaker dwellings in the area. And seven, New Wedgefield General Industries. The population prediction, between 18,500 and 28,000 by 2041. As can be seen, this is a significant body of work that our staff have put together, a massive undertaking with the maps and the meshing with the written documents, which is so important. I do thank our staff for the massive body of work this item and the previous one have required them to do. I vote for the recommendation on two pages over this on this item. Okay, item 11.4.1. This item is for the construction of two homes to be used by our senior staff. The cost of building is in fact lower than purchasing in this market. Plus the money stimulates employment and economic boost to an area that now, with this virus coming through, is a challenging times for our local businesses. The successful builder is a local builder and delivers an outstanding product. The residential staff housing building is an approved project in the town's 2019-20 budget. I vote for the recommendation on the first page of this report, which reads, the council adopts the tender submitted by MJW Building in accordance with the tender RFT 1920-14, residential in brackets staff house build Sutherland Street, for the total amount of $1,306,594, excluding, in brackets, excluding GST. Item 11.4.2. This item is to construct a home on our land acquired for staff housing. This home is constructed using the fold-up technology. The modular home is a very much quicker build than traditional bricks and or steel framed houses, and it may well be used in future construction of places such as the Stephen Street redevelopment. I'm advised that this particular construction, I hope this is still the case even with the virus, can be constructed in 16 weeks. These homes are constructed at cyclone rated to a very high level. I vote for the recommendation contained in this item, which reads that Council accepts the tender submitted by Modular WA, in accordance with the tender RFT 1920-17, design, construction and installation of a modern modular home, house, for the total amount of $364,970.80, which is interesting, excluding GST. Okay, item 11.4.3. This item is in relation to enhancing the landscaping of the entrance to South Headland. This project is subject to gaining some external funding. The project was designed some years ago as a three-phase improvement of the streets, significant streets in South Headland. This is the last of those three phases. This matter has been brought forward to the next financial year, as other businesses are planning upgrades of the land, abutting council land, and the council's efforts will add to the overall improvement and enjoyment of this precinct. The council is in fact working hard producing improvements in parks and reserves in Port Hedland. This will be part of the enhancement of our town's visual appeal. I vote for the recommendation contained in this item. Okay, item 11.4.4, this is in relation to the seawalls in Port Hedland. All residents in Port Hedland know the urgency of this item to protect our residential and road infrastructure in Port Hedland. The passing of Tropical Cyclone Veronica showed how vulnerable our town's coastal area is and how vulnerable the town's assets are to simply falling into the ocean. People who live in Sutherland Street and Good Street certainly do know how exposed we are in future damage. Council has contracted MP Rogers and Associates to prepare a comprehensive study of this problem. The report that are now available examines the various ways to address the issue, from allowing what they call a planned retreat, which is very expensive and in my view almost unthinkable, to the next way of dealing is the sand replacement, which is very expensive and is in the long run a plan that would never end. It would be continuous to that until basically we lost the battle. Building groins is an expensive and requires sand replenishment as well. I think the clear winner, if it was a competition, in my view, is an expensive makes expensive but makes a permanent solution in this area. It would still require Shire to repair and maintain the rock wall. I think the clear winner is the building of three rock walls in the affected areas. These walls will vary in height and length. Sutherland Street wall will be 450 metres long and 9 metres high. Good Street wall will be 160 metres long and 8 metres high. The West End wall will be 410 metres long and 6 metres high. This venture is beyond the resources of your town alone, and we will be approaching state government, federal government, and all major resource companies for funding. It is my hope that the tender will be complete all three areas in one contract. The report from MP Rogers have taken into account the impact on the turtle breeding habits of the turtles. I urge people to look at the report that followed the production of the char map. Some councils in Western Australia think the production of char map is a waste of time. The information gained in the char map exercise justifies the actions that are now being taken in a scientific manner. These walls in years to come may well have to be extended to protect other areas. This base load protection will be a very good start for what will be a massive problem for the next 100 odd years, I would have thought. I vote for the recommendation in relation to this report. Item 11.4.5, is that what yours
is? Yes.
This item is to build and seal a portion of Shota Road, a very busy road to a local company for $1.485391 million to be sourced from road renewal programs. The importance of the above is that the Commonwealth pay two-thirds of the amount. The contract includes lifting roads, installation of drainage system, construction of two intersections, the sealing between Quarries and Hamilton streets, the construction of culverts, the electrical services, the lowering of the water services. This is a significant part of our larger objective to seal the road completely. I vote for the recommendation in relation to this item, which reads that Council endorses the recommendation of the evaluation panel and awards award request for tender RFT 1920-11 in brackets Soto Road Construction and Seal for Town of Port Hedland to De Grey Civic Proprietary Limited. The contract is for the sum of $1,485,391, excluding GST, to be sourced from the road renewal program, Soto Road. Item 11.4.6, and this is the last one. At last. This item is to allow for the development of the West End amenity upgrade. This item is to allow for the development of the West End amenity upgrade. Once realised, the council will conduct a two-week public consultation before the final adoption by council. One of the objectives of this is to identify opportunities to improve the amenity, accessibility and functionality of public open space. BHP has approached the council to contribute to this project through the Right Foot Forward for the West End. The plan is to better support the community. This is a direct response to the recommendations in the public open space strategy. The stage one focuses on streetscapes, verges, traffic islands west of Withnall Street. Stage two focuses on streetscape, verges, traffic islands between Withnall and Taplin. These require planting, irrigation, repairs, installation, planting and relocation of trees, removal of poor trees that haven't done well, the laying of turf and the crack of dust, the paving, installation of footpaths, rock pitching, footpath linkage at the Esplanade and Richard Street. I urge people to have the same relation to this matter. I can't see how anyone would not be supportive of it, but I do vote for the recommendation in relation to this matter. Okay, report, item 12, report of committees, there isn't any. Item 13, motions, there isn't any. Items, new business, there isn't any. Item 15, matters for which meeting may be closed, there is none. The next meeting is to be held on the 22nd of April, commencing at 5:30. There being no further business, I declare the meeting closed at 6:30.